Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just for the opportunity we have to be in church on Wednesday night. Now, you have to tell yourself it's a blessing. It is an encouragement. And get out of that funk that you might be in tonight, right? Wednesday midweek, and where it gets darker earlier, so it feels like it's 10 o'clock already. And it's not. It's just a little after 7, amen? And so we got a lot of the evening left, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And so you're in church, you made it here, praise the Lord. You can give yourself a pat on the back for that. But keep yourself awake and into the service so that you receive all that God has for you tonight. Go ahead and stand with me, if you will. Look, get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth in chapter 2. And on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Ruth. A tremendous Bible character. And the book is called Ruth. Now, when you read it to start with, you might think that Naomi is the main character, but God has preserved it under the name of the book of Ruth, all right? And so we need to look to it, look at it through her perspective. And that's how we read the book of Ruth, is just understanding more about Ruth. Now, Ruth was a lost Moabitess. The Jews hated the Moabites, and Moabites hated the Jews. And God opened a door for her to believe in Him. And when that door was opened, she looked to her gods, multiple gods, of the gods of Baal. And then she looked at the God of Israel, and she chose the God of Israel. And she left the land of Moab, and she went with Naomi. Naomi was her help to know more about God. God brought Naomi into her life. And so she follows her back to Bethlehem. And there she wants to learn more and more about the God of Israel. And she's learning that. She's a young believer at this particular time. And God has plans for Ruth. Now, when you think of Ruth, you ought to put her in the very same categories as David. David was a shepherd boy whom God made a king. Ruth was a lost Moabitess that God used in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Only God can do that. And God is no respecter of persons. He loves all people around the globe. He has a love. He sent His Son to die for all people. And there's no better testimony than the testimony of Ruth that we have that proves that. And so we've been looking at and studying this book of Ruth, a lost Moabitess that turns to God and is used as part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Well, let's look here at Ruth chapter 2 and look at verse 20. And we're going to go down to verse 23, close out the book of chapter 2 of Ruth. The Bible says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for this book of Ruth. And God, I know that you have something for each one that's here tonight. And I just pray that you would help each one to have that ear to hear what you have for them. And I pray that they would receive that and make whatever applications as well. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've studied a little bit of this. We did get into verse 20 in our last message a couple weeks ago as I was gone last week. But we find here that everyone becomes aware of Boaz being the kinsman redeemer. Now, Boaz, when he went and found Ruth in his field, okay, she was gleaning after the reapers. That was part of God's plan and how he would provide for the poor widows and the needy. They needed to work. And if they were willing to work, then God would devise a plan for the farmers to allow the poor and the widows and the needy to glean behind the reapers. And she had to find somewhere that would allow her to glean behind the reapers. God led her to the field of Boaz, and Boaz's servants allowed this Moabitess to glean after the reapers. When Boaz comes on the scene, he notices this woman, and he asks his servants, his young men, who she was. Once they told him that this was kin to Elimelech, this was kin to Naomi. This is Naomi's daughter-in-law, which after Elimelech died and Mahlon died, Boaz would have known he was the kinsman redeemer. He understood that. Ruth did not know that. Naomi did not know that. They had not even thought about a kinsman redeemer. As far as we know, there's no mention of that at that time. Until later on, when Ruth meets him and he says some things and encourages her, if you will, in chapter 2 there, look there with me, verses 11 and 12. Boaz was aware at this time when he addressed Ruth that he was her kinsman redeemer. And he had got a testimony from his servants as to how she had conducted herself. And we find that I believe that he would have been somewhat attracted to Ruth at this point. And he addresses her in verse 11 in chapter 2, and he says this, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, Moab, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto. You didn't know anything about the nation of Israel outside of just some hearsay that you realize it was the nation next to Moab. But she had been raised to believe in the gods of Baal. She had been raised to be very immoral because the religion of Baal was a very immoral religion. This is how she was raised. And he says to her, Thou knewest not herefore, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now, Boaz was a very godly man, and he was looking at Ruth, and from her testimony, she had left her past behind her. She had humbled herself to work and to reap the glean behind the reapers. Now, he acknowledges that she had put her faith and trust in the God of Israel, put herself underneath his protective care. So we find here that he knows who she is. She does not know that this is her kinsman redeemer at that particular time. But at this point, in verse 20, as Ruth comes back and she tells Naomi about Boaz, then the light comes on in Naomi's mind and she says, "This is our redeemer. This is akin to my husband, the dead, that she spoke of there in verse 20, not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. He was being kind to Naomi, and he was being kind to Elimelech, who has died, and Mahlon, his son, who had died. And she realizes that he is their kinsman redeemer. That means that he can purchase, redeem all of the property, the land that she had lost. He could marry Ruth and he could redeem both of them, take them under his care. Their kinsman redeemer. As they understand this, there is joy that is returning to their hearts and their minds. Now, Ruth wanted to rejoice because she was excited about her newfound faith. She was excited about being in the land of the Creator God. And she was excited about learning the things about the Creator God. And Naomi would have been somewhat of a hindrance to her joy, because she comes back and she's lost everything. And she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." For she was very bitter. After all the things that had happened, she was very, very bitter because she was not focused on what God wanted her to be focused on. God brought her back. She still had life. She still had purpose. And God still had a plan for Naomi's life. And it had to do with her being a discipler of Ruth. And now she sees it as Ruth goes out and God has blessed them by bringing in a kinsman redeemer. It's starting to turn around. And the bitterness is leaving. And the joy, you start seeing this as we go through the rest of the book of Ruth. You find the joy is returning to not only Ruth. She is able to rejoice in the Lord. But we find that Naomi's joy is returning as well. You see, sometimes we lose our joy. Sometimes we know why. Other times we can't really put our finger on it. Can I tell you, when that happens, you're going through some struggles. Satan is trying to discourage you. He's trying to hinder you. Because if he can blind you to who God is, if he can blind you to the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, we are blessed no matter what happens. We're blessed. We really are. To have an almighty God love us enough to send his son to die for us. If you're saved here tonight, you are blessed in knowing that you have everlasting eternal life. You have the presence of God dwelling inside of you. You have his promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, you are blessed, and don't let Satan blind you to your blessing. Sometimes we get bitter because life is not turning out the way we wanted it to, and our prayers are not being answered the way we want them to be answered, and things are happening, and we're seemingly struggling. Just realize you're going through some things. If you continue to make right decisions, the joy of the Lord will return. It's never left you. You've just been blinded to it. See, the joy of the Lord is within us. Nothing can take that from you, but you can be blinded to it if you just keep making right decisions, even when you don't want to make right decisions. If you'll just keep making right decisions, your bitterness will turn back to rejoicing. Because you will make it through whatever that struggle might be, and you'll finally get yourself back into a position where God can bless you and return the joy that we desperately need. The joy of the Lord is the strength of the believer. So Ruth's bitterness is being replaced with joy once she now realizes our Redeemer. And he can marry you. He can redeem us. God is blessing us because we're back where God wants us to be. That's what's taking place in verse 20. Verse 21, we find that Ruth tells Naomi what she was instructed to do by her redeemer, Boaz. So now she knows this is what her redeemer instructed her to do. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also." Now she knows him to be the Redeemer, her Redeemer. "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." Boaz, being attracted to Ruth, would put Ruth through a trial, a test, to determine just how committed she was, first of all, to her God, to the work that she was, God would have her to do in order to find the provisions necessary, and also to follow through with what he had instructed her to do. He knew what his future plans would be for Ruth. Boaz knew that as she would continue to work in his fields and be faithful to stay in his fields and to complete the task at hand, complete the gleaning after the reapers, and not be looking around to some other field, but do exactly as he told her to do, that if she did that, then it would help him and it would help her to know the reality of her faith and trust and just doing what God wanted her to do. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer? Can I tell you that you need to know, and I need to continue to be aware, that God has a plan and a purpose for my life? It's more than just the past, but He's got a purpose for my present in this present day and age that we're living in. He's got a purpose for my future. He knows what He wants me to accomplish in my life. He knows what He wants to accomplish through me in my life. Jesus Christ, if you're saved here tonight, can I tell you, He has a purpose for your life. He brought you through everything that you've gone through up to this point. He has a purpose for where you're at. He has a future purpose for what He wants to accomplish through your life. And in the midst of accomplishing that, there is great joy. There's the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. Look with me to Luke in chapter 20. I think we see this happening with Ruth. And so this is a biblical principle that is taught to us through this story of Ruth. And now we look into the New Testament and see the very same thing revealed to us in New Testament scripture. In the book of Luke in chapter 22, Jesus had a purpose for all of His disciples, especially the apostles. He knew that He was going to go to the cross of Calvary. He knew exactly what kind of trials that they would all go through. He knew that He would be crucified, but that He would resurrect on the third day, and He would instruct them on what He wanted them to complete after His resurrection. He would meet with them, and He did for 40 days, instructing them about His New Testament church and this apostolic age that they would play a big part in. In Luke in chapter 22, though, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He wants to take away your usefulness and your purpose that God has for your life. Okay, that's what we find here with Ruth and the Redeemer. That's what we find that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, He has a purpose for our lives. And we have an adversary, and the devil wants to steal away our purpose. He wants to render you useless for the cause of Christ. And so he says to him, he says, Simon, he says, Satan is real. He has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to take away your usefulness, the wheat. They sifted the usable part, the rest of chaff. It's not usable. The wheat is the important part of the grain. And so he says that Satan wants to take your usefulness, the purpose that I have for your life, what I want to accomplish through you. Satan wants to steal that from you. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. As you go through all that you're getting ready to go through, and you don't realize what it is you're getting ready to go through, but it's to increase your faith. And when thou art converted, once you get through this and you come back to your right mind, come back to your right thinking, this is part of what I have for you to do. Strengthen thy brethren. Feed my sheep. As he would tell him before he would ascend into heaven. And he said unto him, now Peter should have understood all that, right? We don't always understand. It's in the Bible. We don't always understand how it applies to my life. And we're going through some of the struggles. We lose sight of God has a plan for my life. God is in control of the circumstances of life. God, if He doesn't cause it or bring it into our life, He has to allow it. If He's allowing it, there's a purpose for that. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And I believe in his mind he was ready. He would have died, but he was not prepared at that time to accomplish what God had to work through him, to accomplish what God had him here to accomplish. He would have to go through the trials at this time to be ready and to be prepared and to be equipped to accomplish what God had for Peter to accomplish. He didn't know it. Even though Jesus told, even though it's in the Bible, he was still somewhat blinded to it. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He knew what would happen. He knew exactly what kind of trials that Peter would go through. And even Peter's response because of his lack of faith. But after he would do that, and he goes gets through the trials, he would never deny him again. Because his faith would have been increased when he saw the resurrected Savior. Wow. He knew what his future plans would be for Ruth. Our Redeemer knows his future plans for our lives. And if we have to go through the trials to get us there, then so be it. Trials and testings are to help us, to better prepare us, to strengthen us for God's future purpose for our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, and you know the passage well, but verse 6 it says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, a seasonal trial, if need be. No, realize God's not going to take you through a trial that you don't have to go through, that there's no purpose for. It's only if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, these testings and the trials, that the trial of your faith, if you go through it, then God wants to strengthen your faith, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. If you understand our concept of gold and allows you, it's precious. It allows you to pay your bills, allows you to buy the things you want to buy. It's something that you have need of. He said it's more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. That's what going through the trials, God's purpose for taking us through trials, that it might be come to the place, it might be found unto praise of him, honor to him, glory to him at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In the book of Psalms in chapter 17, the psalmist gives us a little insight into this as well when he says in Psalms chapter 17 in verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You see, God takes us through trials not so he can find out where our faith lies, not so he can determine how strong we are. He's an almighty, all-knowledgeable God, an omniscient God, a sovereign God. He knows it all. As we go through the trials, it's to help us to know how strong we are. It's to help us to have more confidence in our beliefs so that we might be able to accomplish all that he has us here to accomplish. And go back to the book of Ruth, because that's what Ruth is saying. This is what Boaz, now I know him to be our Redeemer, has instructed me. He instructed her, and she would, as she would go through and follow through with his instructions, it would help her to see how her faith was, where she was at in her belief, where she was at in her trusting in God and being under His wings. Verse 22, we find what goes right along with God's will for our lives is the godly counsel of others that know the Word of God. And so we find here in verse 22, and Naomi now said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So now, put yourself there. Come on, stay awake, stay into the message here tonight, because it's important that we do this. We have to relate to what's going on here. Okay, Ruth, she finds a redeemer. She is learning this, all the different things about the Bible, how God would have prepared a way to take care of his children. So she's back in the land of Israel. She's learning all this. Naomi is there to try to help her, to continue to tell her, yes, this is the will of God. This is how God works. This is what you do. You go glean after the reapers. Now this is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one that God is going to bring into our lives that's going to bring us back to joy. It's going to get us back on our feet. He's going to be able to purchase a property. He's actually can be a husband to you. He can marry you and bring back the joy of the Lord into your life as well. So all this has taken place. And now as she hears what Boaz told her to do, now Ruth, knowing what the Redeemer was doing in Ruth's life, now Naomi says to Ruth, do what he says. Do what he says and stay in his field. He's the real deal. Don't look anywhere else. He's exactly what God has brought into our lives. He's what we have need of. He is our Redeemer. Just follow his instructions. The counsel of a true friend and loved one will always agree with the counsel of our Redeemer. The Bible is the counsel of our Redeemer. We have to do what it says to do. And when somebody comes to you and seeks your counsel on what they should do, you ought to be able to do as Naomi did to Ruth, saying, it's the real deal. This is the answer to your problems. Just do what the Bible says you need to do. Give the counsel of the Word of God. Stay in His field. Follow your Redeemer's instructions. Do you know why most bad things happen to believers? We look at bad things happening. Most of the time, it's because they leave God's fields of protection and provisions. She was to stay in his field because if she's in his field, his servants can protect her. His servants can provide for her. They can make sure that she has something to glean from. But she would have to stay in his fields. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's what he told her back in verse 12. Because that's what he was testing. Under God's wings, thou art come to trust. Will you do what God would have us to do? No matter what. No matter what. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus addressed the disciples as well as the crowd that had come to listen and hear from him. the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all those that come to hear what he had to say. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, he says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee." God has reached out to you and you just abused them. You turned away from them. You've mocked them. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." God says, I want you to listen to what I have to say, and I want you to do what I have for you to do. I want you to listen to my instructions, because as long as you're obeying my word, you're doing what I want you to do, you can be underneath the wings, the protective wings of our God. It's when you get out from underneath the wings of God, when you get out from underneath the will of God, when you turn away from doing what God would have you to do, you remove yourself from God's protective hand. Not that God removes his hand. We come up from out from underneath it. And we're following after a different field. We're not content with the field that God's put us in. And we're looking for something new, something different. And in seeking for something new and something different, something more, we take ourselves out of the protective hand of God. Because God cannot bless sin and rebellion. God has to judge sin and rebellion. And Satan's always there waiting to devour when God's children remove themselves from under the safety of God's field. Stay in the field. It's what Boaz was telling her. Stay in the field. It's what the counsel that she got from her mother-in-law, who understands now God has a purpose and a plan. Stay in the field. At all costs. Do what God tells us to do. Stay in the field. Well, Ruth's decision, and we're closing right here, but I want you to see this. Verse 20 is 23 is Ruth's decision. She knows what Boaz said. She now hears the very same counsel from her mother-in-law, who loved her and wanted the very best for her. But she would still have to make the decision herself. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now there's a lot there when you actually put it into what she did at that time and what she was going through. She submits to her Redeemer and to her godly counsel, which is submitting to the Bible and those who are able to interpret the Bible. You see, most of the time, if you can get into the Bible and you can find the help and the solution to your problems, the answers to your questions, praise the Lord for that. Just go to your Redeemer, go to the Word of God that He has for us, and you can read it. But there's going to come times when you can't find. You don't know exactly where to go to find the solution to whatever problem you have. And you seek counsel. You seek counsel not because you want to hear man's philosophy. You seek counsel because you want the Word of God interpreted to whatever it is that you're facing. And everyone needs that from time to time. In the multitude of counselors are safety, but where no counsel is, people fall. They make wrong decisions. They are led astray. They're led in the wrong direction. Listen to me. Every time you come to church, you're hearing the Word of God preach, and that's a counseling session, whether you realize it or not. You're getting to understand, you're getting to know the Bible better. You're understanding the Bible more. You're having someone get up here and preach a message on a particular passage of Scripture and how that God can take that biblical principle and apply it to your life. Most of the time, if people would just be faithful to church, God's plan, not to forsake that, you're going to find the counsel that you have need of in one of those services. And the service that you missed was more than likely the counsel that you needed most. And you have an adversary that says, not going to let you hear that. Amen. Because I want to sift you. And if you get the counsel, you won't be sifted. God's plan. God's got a purpose for our lives. Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 8. See, Ruth took the counsel and the commandment of her Redeemer, and she submitted to it. Colossians in chapter 2. In the book of Colossians in chapter 2, we find here, Paul writes to the believers there at Colossae, he says, beware. It's a warning. Beware. That's a warning. Lest any man spoil you, I mean, get the victory in your life, sift you as wheat, keep you from the will of God through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the ways of the world, and not after Christ. Beware of who you allow to influence you, whose counsel you're seeking, whose help that you are looking to. Stop listening to those who do not base their counsel on the Bible. Stop listening to those who are not counseling you after God. Sometimes we take the counsel because our friends wouldn't lead us in a wrong direction. If your friend's not saved, if your friend's not living for God, Satan will work through them to sift you and get you going in a wrong direction because you listen to the wrong counsel. Sometimes it's even family. Surely my parents would give me right counsel. It's not, most of the time, it's not that they are giving you willingly and knowingly wrong counsel. They don't know any better. If your parents do not know the Bible or not living where God can work through them to in your life, you can't listen to their counsel. If it is opposite from the Word of God, it's not the counsel that you have need of, no matter who it is. You honor your parents, you do that. But if they're not following the counsel of God and not giving you the right counsel, you can't listen to their counsel. Yeah. Can I tell you what is influencing most of society today? And it's clearly seen in the politics of today. Talk show hosts. People that are watching those things. Most of them are so vulgar you shouldn't be listening and watching them anyway, but I guarantee you they have an agenda. And they're going to influence anybody that watches their show with the agenda that they have, after the traditions of the world, after the philosophies of man, and not after Christ. Hollywood. Everybody has their certain shows that you want to make sure you're home by time to watch this show, and you follow it somewhat like a soap opera. I mean, most of them just continue on and on. But the idea there is, in the world today, Hollywood has not given you a biblical example in what they're producing. They have an agenda. They want you to accept humanistic philosophies, and if you can accept it by watching a television program that accepts it and makes all the ungodly people out to be the good guys, and they want to influence you that these are good guys. then you'll be persuaded and you'll be influenced. And listen to me. God says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Be careful. Be careful what you allow to influence you, coming from television, coming from Hollywood. And then one of the other things that have our young people's attention is professional athletes. Can I tell you they have an agenda? And they want to use their positions not to better you. They're wanting to use their position to get you to believe like they believe. And they'll come out in groves and support the philosophies of the world. Yeah. And if you are so enamored by that sports star, you're more apt to follow their beliefs. Wow. I'm just saying that Ruth's decision was based on the Redeemer's instructions and the godly counsel, which agreed with the Redeemer's instructions. It wouldn't be easy for her to do this. See, because she would be required to work hard, to glean after the reapers. If you go back there, and I'm done here, but going back there, and we see, he says, glean unto the end of barley harvest, which would have been about 2 to 2.5 months. And then it's not over yet. Be out there in the hot sun, working hard, glean for those 2 months for my harvest, the barley harvest, and right after the barley harvest would come the wheat harvest, which would be another 2.5 months. So for some 5 months, she would be tested. You're going to work hard? You're going to obey the commands of the Redeemer? You're going to follow the counsel? Keep on doing what the Bible says to do. As you're doing what God says to do, listen to me. Your Redeemer's watching. Your Redeemer's watching. And He has future plans for you. Don't get sidetracked. Don't let the devil sift you. Just keep on doing what the Redeemer instructs you to do and what godly counsel will instruct you as well. Because it will be after the very same message that the Redeemer gives you. One day at a time, one step before the other, whether you feel like it or not, keep doing what God says to do. The joy, if it's not here, it's on its way. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Ruth meets a Redeemer. He instructs her. She follows that instruction. She's encouraged by godly counsel. There's good things in store for Ruth and Naomi with Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. I believe if you keep serving the Lord, there's good things ahead. You might go through some tough times, you might go through some trials and don't understand it, but just keep doing what's right. God has a purpose, and He has a plan. Anyone else, you need to come tonight. We're not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we, but we always have an invitation, an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If God spoke to you tonight and you need to respond, we encourage you to make the decision now. Father, we bow before You. We love You, Lord. Thank You for the privilege of being in church tonight. Thank you for what we received and just being in this place. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to make note of it and make whatever application necessary. As we get ready to leave here tonight, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.